cut my own gills with a pocket knife. Turning my fingers in the sockets, my daily daily dose of lightning. Just buzzed enough to get me climbing up the kites.
And my back is aching, my belt's too tight. I brought a chisel tip to this pencil fight. No luck, just fortified dice. I'm going morning and night.
And I'm really rising. I'm fire on the horizon.
I'm the phoenix
and the ash. Red eyes shining in the camouflage. My secret is I don't keep on. Say something, go ahead and say something. I ain't afraid of it. I don't drown, won't stay down. He finds a way to rise somehow. Skin the crowd is up, coming out at night. Don't see too many rivals now.
Act 3, Tatooine. Your filing system is atrocious, Leia said, not for the first time.
Blame my predecessor,
Boba responded, also not for the first time. They were in a small audience chamber, which had the singular advantage over the throne room of having a conference table and multiple data stations. Fennec had excused herself after about 10 minutes, leaving him alone with Leia and the droids she had brought in. Balancing his personal finances had not prepared him for balancing the finances of a not inconsiderable city-state.
You're lucky your predecessors were greedy bastards and hoarded everything they got. At least you have the money to pay for all these infrastructure repairs. Frankly, I would have preferred that they did their job and left me destitute. Boba grumbled.
Silver linings, Leia said offhand, without even looking in his direction.
Boba grunted. She wasn't wrong.
Moreover, she was a godsend when it came to this kind of paperwork. Political experience running a planetary government, a galactic senate seat of rebellion, and now whatever the New Republic was, clearly had a few advantages. Even if she had a more extensive vocabulary of curses than he did. If he was honest, he was impressed. Beauty and confidence and talent all in one package. How in the hyperlanes did a scrapper like Solo manage to win her? A polite knock came from the door, and 8D8 entered a moment later.
Sir, a messenger has arrived from Madame Garza. She's waiting in the main hall. Should I tell her you are otherwise occupied?
No, I'll see her, Boba might have answered slightly too quickly. Leia looked up and raised an eyebrow. First Fennec, and now Leia. If he wasn't careful, he'd end up surrounded by beautiful women who scoffed at the idea of coming to his bed. Madame Garza knows everything that goes on in this town. If she sent a messenger, it's important,
he explained. Leia considered that, then nodded, stretching as she stood. The green Twi'lek who waited for them smiled and curled her leku as they entered the throne room. Leia got to the throne first and sat down like it was her right. Boba wasn't sure if he should be irritated or impressed. Shaking off the thought, he stepped forward and gestured to the messenger. Lady Hutslayer, Lord Fett, my mistress, Madame Garza, wishes to inquire as to when the formal announcement and celebration of the start of your reign will be held. She dipped her head, looking up at them coyly.
Celebration? Boba said slowly. He hadn't been planning any celebration.
In his experience, people were cautious rather than excited for new rulers. The Twi'lek pursed her lips. If you don't mind me saying, there are quite a few people who have been quite exuberant since the Lady Hutslayer has returned. Leia leaned forward and spoke in a just-us-girls tone.
Is the madam hoping to let them blow off some steam so everyone can go back to business?
The Twi'lek brushed a hand down her skirt. Well, I don't think she'd say as much in so many words, but that would ease things a bit and confirm your intentions, of course.
Of course, Leia nodded.
Well, we'll have to consider the logistics, but I think something can be arranged in the next week or two. Bubba turned and sent Leia a look that he hoped conveyed what he thought of that idea. He'd been a bodyguard at enough events to know how much chaos and how frivolously expensive they could be. Leia ignored him. I trust Madame Garza would be willing to assist with the preparations. Of course, my lady. The Twi'lek bowed. Then tell her to please attend. No, tell her we will visit her fine establishment tomorrow evening to work out the details. I'm sure she will be honored to receive you. The messenger bowed again and took her leave. Boba crossed his arms and turned to face Leia. A celebration? Is that really the best choice right now? Leia stood, stepping down to where he stood. Little piece of advice. Following the will of the people isn't only about legislation. Sometimes the people are going to party, and the only way to manage things is to set a time and place. She patted his shoulder, then let her hand trail down his arm as she headed back to the conference room. Two weeks seemed far too short a time to manage the amount of things that Leia seemed to have in mind. For his part, he signed the forms she put in front of him, nodded at the appropriate times, and tried to keep everything else running as smoothly as it ever did. At one point, the Hutts showed up with the gift of a baby Rancor. At one point, the Pikes tried to poison him. Or he assumed it was the Pikes. As usual, he couldn't prove anything. Din arrived at one point and got drunk at one of the cantinas before Fennec dragged him back to the palace and dumped him in one of the spare bedrooms. Kersantan ripped a man's arm off at the sanctuary. Each of these things individually would have topped the events of a normal week, and yet they all paled in comparison with what Leia managed to accomplish. She had a full squad of New Republic fighters patrolling the planet within 2 days. Boba couldn't even complain about it, because they'd brought most of their own supplies, paid the locals to service their ships, and spent all their wages at the local cantinas. 2 days after that, Leia had managed to get a hold of a full ground troop as well. Boba spent that day quietly terrified that a riot would break out. It didn't, but a lot of people ended up drunk, and the troopers were just as likely as the locals to end up in a drunk tank. Leia cleared out several former government buildings that Boba technically owned, and bought any slave that anyone would sell her in order to bring them up to what she called modern living standards. She freed the slaves before even asking for their help, and ended up with twice as many helpers as she needed. Somewhere in the middle of the renovation, her reputation had gone from legendary to mythical. If that wasn't enough, ships started arriving in the dozens during the second week preceding the new holiday. Full families moved into the new houses before they were even finished, bringing with them terraforming-grade humidifiers, full containers full of seed grain and other rations, and, wonder of wonders, medical equipment. Each night, Leia came back to the palace after at least one, if not both, of the suns had set. Boba had insisted that he at least be kept up on the preparations, even if she was taking the lead. That led to Leia lounging on one of the couches in his outer room, drink in one hand as he sat near her, listening to her elegantly cultured voice spit out insults at whatever pig-headed person had tried to get in her way that day. She was beautiful like that. He wanted to move over to her couch, lift her small feet into his lap, and rub them until she purred. He wanted to pick her up, carry her to his bed, lay her out, and show her exactly what he thought of her strength. He wanted to pull her into his lap, whisper "Kashuk me kirish" into her hair, and force her to rest. He might even go through with it once this whole celebration was done. It wasn't that he wanted a good lay.
He had taken advantage of Madame Garza's services a few times, but sex was... maybe it was part of being Mandalorian. The connection of clan binding and gifting more than any purely physical relationship, at least for him. Leia was... copish. Boba shook his head. If he was using Mandoa, he really was getting sentimental. If Leia had just backed down, turned away from his challenge, he would have been able to write her off. Instead, he was all but ruling a nation with her at his side. The Queen of Tatooine. Boba shook off the thought as Leia stood and swayed toward the door. "You'll be there tomorrow?" she asked, leaning on the doorframe. "Seeing as I'm scheduled to introduce your speech, I'm sure you'd kill me if I tried to escape." Leia's face was pink from the drink. She smiled, and there were wisps of hair that had escaped, curling over her forehead. He needed to get a grip on himself.
"Yeah, I would,"
she yawned. "See you in the morning." Then she was gone, slipping into the night like a dream. Leia was up before the sun, meeting with her team leads. "The water carts? We have 20 carts ready to open at the edges of the festival area. Another 5 are ready with refill supplies." "Good. The stage?" "Full audio-visual, to be projected on the local holonet and to the New Republic network, ma'am." "And after the speech?" "We have 4 local bands recommended by Madame Garza to play in shifts until sunset." "Good. Medical?" "Well, tents are up, and we're prepared for the general small injuries this kind of event generates, but I have to reiterate that this population needs a considerable amount of long-term care, and I'll review your report when this is done." "Security?" "Ground or air?" "Let's start with the ground. Technically, I've got half my crew on shift in the morning and the other half in the evening, but I've made it clear to all of them that if anything starts, they need to end it fast. There's also the gang Fennec brought in and the group of enforcers. I have them guarding the stage and water carts in case of riots." "That'll have to do. And air?" "The squad is set to do the fancy flying at the end of your speech. After that, we got double patrols on the inner orbit and 2 extra men on the outer orbit. Let me say, those flyboys weren't happy to be missing the party." "Yes, well, that's what we pay them for. Remind them of the bonus if they start complaining." "Yes, ma'am." "The children? Have you added children to this circus?" Boba asked, stepping into Leia's circle. He was already in his armor, with his helmet under his arm. In his free hand, he had a bag of grilled Cato beans. He pushed the bag into her hands.
"Take a moment to eat after you've deployed your forces."
Leia blushed, turning the bag over in her hands. "They're hardly my forces. I'm just a benefactor." She glanced from Boba to her team leaders, who were politely looking away or reading data pads while glancing back at her sidelong.
"So all of this would have come together without your direction?"
His voice was low, right next to her. She almost wanted him to slip his arm around her waist. He had every right to listen to these reports. Instead, Boba stepped back, falling into a military posture.
"Permission to do a final security sweep before the main event?"
Leia's face was never going to return to its normal color. "You don't need to. We do have a security team."
"Yeah, well, I prefer to see to this personally,"
Boba said. Then he stepped out from under the awning and lifted into the air. Damn the man for getting the last word, and for making her want to drag him back and sit on him, in more ways than one. One of her team leads cleared their throat. "Yes. Yes, where were we? Oh, yes. Childcare?" Leia had had a stage constructed in front of her statue.
Bubba wasn't sure if it was simply the most central and convenient spot, or if it had some deeper message. At the moment, he was mostly concerned with the fact that there wasn't a proper backstage to provide cover. The whole situation was a bodyguard's nightmare. He couldn't help thinking that way, despite the fact that Leia wasn't actually his charge. There was an awning, at least, even if the only thing it would protect her from was the sun's. Boba rose to a reasonable height and made a wide circuit before coming back around. Nothing yet, but that wasn't an excuse to stop looking. He landed on the rooftop closest to the stage, next to the sniper's blind where Fennec was already tucked away. You realize that if anyone tried anything, the whole city would gut them alive and leave them out for the rats, Fennec said instead of a greeting.
That doesn't mean someone won't try,
Boba responded in the same tone. Between the two of them, he and Leia had enough enemies to split the galaxy. Fennec shrugged. With all this watching, have you bothered to look at the stage? Boba frowned, then turned his helmet in the appropriate direction. There was... Someone had splashed paint over the stage, forming a pattern that was almost familiar. His hand rose to touch Jaster Muriel's symbol on his chest, almost without conscious thought. The paint was a single stripe, crossing several broken circles. It could have been the symbol of his adopted grandfather, or it could have been a stylized chain sliced in half. Yeah, that's what I thought, Fennec said. There was a smile in her voice. Apparently, she could read him even with his helmet on. You make a cute couple.
We're not.
Now what? Dating? Sleeping together? Pining after each other like a pair of lovesick teenagers? The Palace Steppe haven't missed that she spends every evening in your quarters, and neither have I. Boba shuffled his feet, hooking his thumbs in his belt and setting his HUD to do a passive scan.
It's not like that. She's got someone else.
Since when has that stopped anyone? Fennec scoffed. She glanced up at him, then shook her head. Look, it's none of my business, but if you're both going to continue like this, there will be expectations. If you don't want people to assume, then it'll be easier to draw a clear line sooner rather than later. Boba sighed. It sounded like a rattle through his vocoder.
This is all a bit more complicated than my original idea.
You're telling me, Fennec muttered. She went still, and he reacted automatically, falling still as well. Slowly, Fennec leaned forward, her gaze following a Doug who was getting a little too close to the staging area. Boba drew his blaster, keeping it pointed down for the moment. The Doug used one of his back hands to wave to someone across the square, and a minute later, two other Dougs came into view. The three of them headed away toward the city center. Boba and Fennec both breathed out slowly.
You never minded when people thought the two of us were together,
Boba said, picking up the thread of their conversation as he holstered his blaster. Sure, but no one's going to put me in a dress and call me Your Majesty. I could still go to a brothel and no one would think worse of either of us. You think people won't talk if you stop by Madame Garce's next week? Or next month, if she's still around? Boba made a low sound. She was right. Worse, even if Leia didn't mind, he would. Leia stepped out from under the awning and held a hand up to squint against the sun. When she spotted him, she waved, calling him down. He knew he shouldn't be so eager to go to her. Tomorrow, he promised himself. Tomorrow he would sit down and get his head on straight. Tomorrow he would take a long, hard look at his options and decide which way he wanted his life to go. Tomorrow. For today, he would stand by her side and treat her like she was the most important person on his world. Boba adjusted his helmet, triggered his jetpack, and went to her, ignoring the knowing hum that followed him from Fennec's position. Leia had a speech ready that would stir hearts and win even the most stoic to her side. And yet, she stepped onto the stage and smiled at the people. Her people. The people who had praised her and lifted her up, all without knowing more than her name and one thing she had done. She met the eyes of hopeful children, smiled at those worn down by years, and nodded regally to people who were sneaking glances while still trying to guard or sell or manage things. And yet, she felt the steady presence of Boba just behind her right shoulder. A pillar supporting her as solidly as the trunk of a tree that had stood for over a century. Weathered, but whole. Scarred, but not broken. And yet, Leia lifted her hands. She smiled and called on the people to celebrate. She offered free water and entertainment and declared the day a planetary holiday on behalf of the occasion. She kept her mask up, even though the Force was tugging at her attention. Leia wasn't as attuned to the Force as Luke was. Or to be more accurate, she was tuned to it in different ways. She would never be able to just let herself go and give into it like he did. She would never be able to dance with a blade like a leaf on the wind. From a young age, she'd been taught to hone and protect her core self. To shield herself. To stay aware of intentions and not let herself be moved by them. There was joy in the crowd. There was excitement and hope. And a hunger for everything she promised. There was also skepticism, derision, hints of pity and scorn. Under all that, there was a single flame of anger and duty. A cold, hard knowledge that what was happening needed to be done. Leia paused in her speech, taking a breath as the crowd cheered. There was someone here. Someone whose intention clashed with the rest of the environment. But she couldn't find them. She considered signaling to Boba. She knew he had security stationed around the plaza. If he was Force-sensitive, he'd likely already be searching them out. She couldn't risk it. The moment she said something, the enemy would know. Leia bent her knees slightly, lowering her center of gravity, and brought her arms up to a relaxed circle, as if embracing her audience. She took a breath, ready to continue, when the spark of danger exploded. Boba could tell something was wrong. Leia had paused. Her stance had changed. Nothing extravagant, nothing a casual glance would notice, but it was there. He wanted his helmet, and the extra sensors in his HUD. Since that wasn't an option, he lifted his chin toward Fennec's position. She was a professional. She would get the message. The blaster bolt came from his right. A blue line that cut across his vision, and Boba's mind identified that Leia was the target before realizing what had happened. The bolt had stopped, sparking in midair a foot from Leia's outstretched palm. He couldn't see her face, but her posture remained ready. Leia, go. That was all he needed. Boba launched himself into the air, snatching his helmet from his belt and snapping out the commands to trace back the trajectory of the shot. His emotions caught up a second later. Rage, laced with fear, tried to push through the numb clarity. Later, he shoved it down. He could process how close he'd come to losing her later, when she was safe. There, a wide hat and broad coat in an upper window. The shot would have been a difficult one, but he knew that silhouette.
He knew the man who could make it.
All points. Cad Bane just tried to take out Leia. I'm going after him.
A swarm of replies and confirmations echoed back to him. Only one made it through the din.
I've got Leia,
Fennec said.
Falling back to the sanctuary.
Good. They would keep each other safe. Now he could focus. Bane saw him coming and slipped back into the building. Boba didn't have time to pull up the schematics. He cut power to his jetpack, twisted, and ducked his head. Through the open window, the floor and wall came up to meet him. Why did everything here have to be made of stone? His armor took most of the impact. Training kicked in, and Boba pushed himself up. Bane was only a few seconds ahead of him, but he'd already cleared the room. Two blinks brought up the sensors in his helmet, and Boba was after him. Leia lost track of Boba as he moved further away. She knew it had only been a minute or so since the shot was fired, but the adrenaline in her system was already pushing her. Fennec was beside her, putting herself between Leia and the crowd. She had her helmet on and was issuing orders into it. Below them, the crowd was murmuring, praying, cursing, the level of sound muffled by the ringing in Leia's ears. The bolts. Leia pulled her focus back in enough to turn to Fennec. What? Can you release the bolt safely?
That was a good question.
She'd stopped the bolt almost instinctively. It was still hovering just beyond her hand. Leia frowned and set her will against it.
Up!
The bolt twitched, trying to escape her hold. She pushed again.
Up!
This time, when it tried to escape, she let it rocket into the sky. Leia let out a breath. She had to lock her knees before she fell over. Fennec was there, wrapping an arm around her shoulders. We have to get you to safety. Leia nodded, then shook her head. Give me a minute. Fennec wasn't happy, but she let Leia turn back to the crowd. My apologies, but it seems this talk will be cut short, she offered up, with a look that said, this is why we can't have nice things, and invited them to laugh with her. I would like to thank all of you for attending, and I encourage you to enjoy yourselves for the rest of the day. A full release of all our plans and intentions will be distributed tomorrow. She lifted her hands in a gesture of victory. For the future of Tatooine, may it be as bright as the desert suns. The crowd cheered, and Leia let Fennec hustle her away. She didn't let herself think again until Fennec pushed her into a seat and put a drink into her hands. She took a sip. Water? Fennec nodded. Water first. Once you can convince me you're not in shock, the drinks will start coming. Leia nodded and drank. She took a few deep breaths and focused on slowing her racing heart before she asked. Boba? He's still chasing Bane. They're heading for the shipyard. A squad of your people and 10 of mine are trying to circle in and back him up. Leia nodded. If he got hurt, if something forced that rock of a man to crumble, who else can we send? The pilots, maybe? They should already be set up for the air show. Hut Slayer. Fennec put a hand on her arm. Your head of security is on it. They'll catch him. Giving extra orders now is only going to complicate the chain of command. Leia wanted to protest, but Fennec was right. She nodded. She sipped at her water, careful not to swallow it too fast. It wasn't like she'd never been shot at before. It wasn't like she hadn't had friends in danger before. But in some ways, every time was like the first. Akbar had once confided that if she ever grew numb to battle, then she should step down, because she wouldn't be able to weigh the true damage of lies lost. Today, she had been the one in danger, but she wasn't the one fighting now. Leia slumped down until her forehead hit the table in front of her.
"He tried to tell me this would happen."
Her voice came out muffled. Fennec hummed. "He wouldn't have respected you if you'd backed down from one warning, and it's not like you didn't take precautions." She waved a hand over Leia's head, and a minute later, a bottle was set down on the table. Leia turned her head until she could read the label.
"That stuff will kill you."
Fennec shrugged. "Not with my insides. You want a taste?" Leia managed to push herself upright again. She bit her lip. "It's just, none of this needed to happen. I didn't want to put either of us in danger. I just didn't know. And then I heard what you were doing here, and I..." "Thanks." She accepted a bottle of her usual wine from a server, then poured herself a glass when Fennec didn't protest. "I was angry, and he knelt in front of me." Fennec nodded. "Yeah, I was there." "Exactly!" Leia rubbed a hand over her head, smoothing stray locks of hair out of her face. "I don't even know what I'm supposed to do with this!" She swallowed a gulp of wine and winced. The next sip she took slower, letting the fruity flavor coat her tongue. "Can I ask you a question?" Leia looked at Fennec. She'd spent some time with the other woman, but most of that had been for business. Still, here in a back room of the sanctuary, with layers of guards between them and the outside, they were as private as things were going to get. "All right. You were with Han Solo for a while, right? Not serious?" Leia leaned back, surprised. "What? I guess. I was, but Han is complicated. He doesn't like attachment. Doesn't like staying in one place or belonging to any one group. Getting him to accept the title of general was like pulling teeth, and that was back when the only thing he had to do was show up and cart supplies around. There's no way he'd take a role in government, and I wouldn't want him to if I was honest. It would strangle him." She bit her lip and looked down into her glass. We never formally ended things, but the circles we exist in are only getting further apart." Fennec stole her bottle of wine and mixed a splash with her rock gut. "Tough, but not impossible to overcome if you wanted to." "And the boss?" "Boba? Well, he's..." She looked at Fennec. She was serious. The question wasn't mocking or searching, it was just girl talk. The kind Leia hadn't had since the last time she'd seen Winter, if she was honest. And that had been over a year ago. "He's nice. I like him. God, when he knelt to me, and I just know that he'd never do that for anyone else. Even through all this, I keep pushing, and he's never blinked. All those evenings, he told me about the sand people. He's not like Han. He wants a place that's his. His to protect and watch over and care for. He wants to take pride in what his people accomplish, and that's..." "You like him," Fennec echoed her earlier words, using her glass to hide a smile. "Oh, like you don't. I'm not the one he consistently clears his evenings for." Leia waved a hand, brushing that away. "He's never invited me to bed. Doesn't count." Fennec put down her glass. "Never? I thought you two had a thing back when..." "That's complicated." "Are any of your relationships not complicated?"
Leia hesitated, then let out a breath.
Okay, fair.
So, spill. Leia took another sip of her wine. Okay. You know the rumor that we were together back before Jabba? Fennec nodded. Okay, so it's sort of true, but not all the way. I was playing Bosch in order to scope out Jabba's organization. Except the original Bosch was male. When Boba offered to let me share his room, he thought it was just two guys, you know? Not that I had a lot of choice, so I took him up on the offer and... Leia took another drink of liquid courage. Oh, this is going to be good. Fennec leaned back, tossed her braid over one shoulder, and raised an eyebrow. I may have threatened him. Fennec laughed, head tipped back, expression open. Leia couldn't help smiling in return. So we were both in his rooms, and I knew there was no way I was going to be able to hide I was a woman. I waited until he had most of his armor off and was sitting on the bed, and then I pulled my blaster. I said I wouldn't hesitate to blast him. I said that if he told anyone I was a woman, I'd hunt him down no matter what it cost. I said if he even tried to touch me, I'd make sure he couldn't use his dick ever again. I went on for a while like that. How did he react? Fennec asked, smiles still in her eyes and voice. Well, he slowly raised his hands and then said he'd never risk leaving a child behind him and I didn't need to worry. Fennec blinked a few times, then sputtered out. What? That was basically my reaction, too. At that point, he told me about the Mandalorian code, or at least the version he follows. Children are a big deal, blood or foundling. He said that abandoning a child of his blood would be the same as chopping off a hand. It meant that much. He hadn't even seen my face, and he was going on about kids. I honestly didn't know what to do at that point. Naturally. Fennec refilled both their glasses. So, did you stay? I actually did. He offered to stay in the fresh room until I was settled if I wasn't comfortable without my armor. And then he slept on the floor. I spent the whole night with the privacy curtain closed. He never even knew who I was until the big reveal the next day. Fennec considered her story. That is actually really sweet. Sometimes I have no idea how Boba has managed to survive this long. Yes! Right? And now I don't know if he's even interested in sex at all, let alone attracted to human females. Fennec leaned across the table and squeezed Leia's hand. Hey, I don't know about human females in general, but I can tell he's interested in you. Leia bit her lip. You think so? Fennec nodded. The next time you're alone together, try putting him on his knees again. I have a feeling he'd appreciate the direct approach. Boba growled behind his helmet. If the chase had been a nice, simple, direct hunt... Well, Cad Bane was a professional. He couldn't say what would have happened for certain, but it wouldn't have been this mess. Bane had headed for the shipyards. Boba had chased after him. Bane had a ship ready and used his ship's guns to pin down Boba, and apparently his backup, until he was prepared to launch. Once Boba had realized what Bane was trying to do, he'd cut over to where Din's ship was parked two hangars away. Bane was in the air by the time he got to the ship, and was in a dogfight with the New Republic fighters by the time Boba got into the air. By the time Boba got into orbit, Bane had tried to micro-jump across the system and ended up caught in the gravity of one of the moons, thrown off where he would come out of hyperspace. At that point, Boba had broken off the chase. He didn't like it, but he didn't have much of a choice. The New Republic fighters were stonewalling him,
not because he didn't have access, but because, as a planetary leader, they wanted to keep him out of a dangerous situation. Boba had needed to cut his comms at that point. He'd done 2 circuits of the city before he landed. Then he'd had to fend off Din's mechanic friend and her droids. Then he'd had to fend off Din himself, who had come fully armed. Boba appreciated the enthusiasm, even if he did have to send him back to the castle without any quarry. At that point, the head of Leia's security had tracked him down and demanded answers. Boba did his best to point the man in the right direction, but apparently, in going after the shooter, he'd put himself in danger. At that point, Boba decided he'd had enough. The air over the city was thick with cooking smoke and the fumes of hundreds of machines. His comms were set to only ping him if Fennec, Garza, or 8D8 called him, which meant there was no sound but the wind ringing in his ears. Boba considered circling the city again, but the fighters were flying low, and even if they knew who he was, that was dangerous. Instead, he checked the fuel levels in his jetpack, then turned out over the desert. Boba had been living on Tatooine for some time now, but somehow he'd never seen it from this angle. The sand dunes seemed to churn like the waves from his childhood. The rocky outcroppings that looked so jagged and imposing from the ground seemed to have rounded edges from this angle, as if they were frozen fountains of stone that the wind had toyed with. And the color. Far from blending together, the colors of the desert stood out in stripes of red and yellow, the tracks of banthas and wild eope dotting the landscape like stitching on a quilt. Then he saw it. Not just tracks, but a trail of banthas plodding along one by one over the sand. A caravan of Tuscans was traveling from one watering hole to the next. His soul lifted to see how they were thriving. How many banthas were in their herd, how deep their tracks were, weighed down with their huts and possessions. His former tribe had not been so numerous. A thought tickled the back of his mind. The tribes usually traveled at night when they had to travel at all. They would only travel during the day when there weren't suitable stopping points along the way. And since the Tuscan tribes had mapped out every water source the desert offered, that was rare indeed. Either this tribe had been forced out of their normal territory, or... His comm beeped, breaking into a speculation. Fed air.
Oh, good. You're alive. Did you know the new guard is going frantic looking for you?
Fennec said casually. Tell them I went flying. They'll come back before nightfall.
Yeah, about that.
There was a smile in Fennec's voice.
Leia needs to get back to the castle, and I don't think she'd feel safe with anyone else escorting her.
The comment was just as distracting as Fennec probably intended. I'll head back now. Stay with her.
Will do, boss.
Boba twisted in the air, checked the compass on his helmet, and turned back toward his city. The Tatooine evening was comfortably warm, and Leia was comfortably buzzed. She hadn't kept track of how much she'd drank, but this was a celebration, and Fennec had said she'd get her home safe. Fennec had caught the eye of a well-muscled Twi'lek, so Leia wasn't 100% on what Fennec had meant, but it was fine. She was perfectly capable. Leia stepped out of the sanctuary and squinted at the buildings around her. She wasn't the only one who'd had a few drinks. A few passing men cheered and waved at her as they held each other up. There was music coming from somewhere. Leia tried to remember how to get back to the palace. That was one downside to spending all her time organizing things. She knew the city on a map better than she did in real life.
A couple with Alderaani features waved and shouted thanks in her direction. Leia was glad she had found them a place to belong. Maybe they weren't the only ones. Maybe she could belong here too. Maybe this time Boba would let her into his bed.
Leia.
She turned, and there he was. Her rock. Her knight. Her warlord. She stepped up to Boba and leaned against him. The metal of his armor was cool to the touch, and she gladly pressed her cheek to it. You're here.
Yes, I...
Boba was hesitating. His arms had come up, but he didn't seem to know what to do with them.
Are you okay?
Just a few drinks. No one wanted to let me out of there, but I finally escaped. Fennec said she'd get me back to the castle, but she's busy.
Yeah, I bet she is.
There was a sigh through Boba's vocoder. Leia wanted to see his face. So, come on then. You can take me home. Leia held up one finger, not allowing any argument.
Home?
Yes, the castle, and quick. I have to write a press release in the morning, and you know how much I love those. Plus, I'm probably going to be hungover for it. She leaned in and spoke the last bit in a whisper. His shoulders shook with soundless laughter.
Well, if that's what my lady wants.
He bent, and for a moment, Leia thought he was going to kneel again. Instead, he caught the back of her knees and scooped her into a bridal carry. Leia barely had time to gasp out a quick, "What?" before they were in the air. The air whipped at her hair, bringing goosebumps to her skin. Instinctively, she wrapped her arms around his neck, tucking her face into his neck. A scream escaped her throat, ending in a laugh as they came to the top of their curve. Boba's arm wrapped around her waist, tightening fractionally, and she heard his voice in a growling whisper.
Look up.
Her breath caught as she turned her gaze away from the ground. The first sun was just below the horizon, and the second was sinking low. The heat haze coming off the desert had tinted the sky, creating a brilliant shade of red, like a tropical flower, shading into a pale gold, and finally a deep blue. Leia had seen the stars from a spaceship, without any atmosphere to cloud them, but that was always through a small window. Now, she felt like she was swimming in them. Baba, Leia exhaled. He tipped his head, pressing his helmet against her hair. Leia didn't know how long they were in the air, but it felt too short. He landed on a balcony of her room in the castle. She slid down his chest until her toes touched the ground. Thank you, Leia said. Her thoughts were scattered. She wasn't sure if she should blame the alcohol or the thin air. She really wanted him to take off his helmet. She wanted to try kissing him. Will you come inside? Boba looked down at her, silent for a long minute.
You've been drinking.
I'm sober enough for this. He made a low sound. Looking to one side, he stepped back. She wanted to stop him. Wanted to keep him here with her. Wanted to see what he looked like under the armor. Wanted to wake up with him beside her. Then he took off his helmet and clipped it to his belt. He looked down at her, and there was something in his eyes. A brightness that she hadn't seen there before. I told myself I'd look at the future tomorrow. And live today? She asked.
Was that a yes? With the light behind him, his expression, she couldn't tell. He reached for her, pulling her close, flush against his armor. He was slow and careful when he tipped his head down. She went up on her toes to meet him, heart thudding in her ears. She was the one to deepen the kiss, tugging at his shoulder pauldrons. Force the things she wanted to do to this man.
There's something I should take care of first,
Boba said in a low voice. Leia blinked. She tried to catch her breath. He stepped back. Where was he going? What did he need to take care of? She didn't understand.
Good night, Boba said, and with another step he was in the air, slipping away into the star-filled night.
Boba didn't know if he'd made the choice or if Leia had made it for him, but he wanted her. He wanted to stand beside her and rule beside her, live and die beside her. What he didn't want was for a quick fuck, or a fling where she left in a month or a year. He didn't want to give her any way out. It was selfish of him, but that was what it was. So, he needed to plan. He needed to offer her something no one else could. He needed to make a statement.
Boba returned to his rooms and packed a bag. He took his Gaddafi off the armor stand and slung it over his shoulder. He recharged his armor, refilling the fuel for the jetpack and making sure he had water and rations to spare. Satisfied, he made his way down to the hangars. There were plenty of old speeders left over from his predecessors. He chose one that seemed to be in decent shape and turned toward the desert. His helmet had recorded the coordinates where he'd seen the Tuskens. If he was right, they were headed for a meeting of the tribes. He could stand for his tribe at such a meeting. He could request things of the elders. He could propose the truce that Leia needed. The night air was cold, and it had already been a long day, but the Tuskens would have moved on from where he'd seen them. He didn't have time to spare. Leia slept fitfully and woke late. Her prediction about the hangover was thankfully false, but she ached enough to make up for it. Her memory was, for good or ill, perfectly clear. He had kissed her. She had kissed him. Then he had flown away. Well, that couldn't be allowed. She wasn't going to let him just walk away from her. When in their relationship had she ever given him that impression? Farce, if he was in the throne room listening to someone blather on about the price of water, well, she was probably going to sit down beside him and nod along, but she wouldn't like it. He wasn't in the throne room. He also wasn't in the back room, or his outer chambers, or the dining room, or the secondary conference room. She did eventually find Fennec, calf in hand, leaning against a counter at the edge of the kitchens. "Have you seen Boba?" she asked, in lieu of a hello. "Nope." Fennec winced, closed her eyes, and took another sip of calf. "Odd. I can't find him anywhere." She crossed her arms and pursed her lips. "Have you checked his ship?" Fennec muttered into her cup. "I have. It's still in the hangar and empty."
"Then go talk to 8D8. He'll know if Boba left the castle."
It was clearly a dismissal. Leia left her to her calf.
8D8 informed Leia in a toneless mechanical voice that
Lord Fett left last night and has not left any messages as to when he will return.
Leia couldn't say much to that. She clenched her jaw, breathed for a minute or two, then turned and went to draft the press release she'd promised at the end of her speech. He hadn't returned by the time she had finished. He hadn't returned by the time she had finished meeting with her team leads and dealing with the aftermath of the festival. He hadn't returned by the time she had sent off her report to Mon and told 8D8 that she was retiring for the night and wouldn't be accepting any more visitors unless it was an absolute emergency and someone was dying. Or if Boba returned. Boba hadn't returned when Leia came out for breakfast. At that point, she couldn't ignore the question that had been hovering in the back of her mind any longer. What if Boba didn't return? There was a chance he was dead. Not a high chance, you know how to survive the desert, but it still existed. There could have been other assassins that hadn't made themselves known. Accidents happened. But even beyond that, maybe he had gone back to the Tuscans. Maybe she'd pushed too far, and he'd finally decided to back down, give in, show his throat. Maybe he'd decided to get out of her way. But if that was the case, why had he kissed her? She kept coming back to that. He hadn't needed to, not if he was just going to leave. Was it for her sake or his own? She might never know the answer. What if Boba didn't return? Could she do this? Could she rule this scared, traumatized population? Could she bring this planet to prominence? Make it the jewel it could be without the corruption and the slavery and the gangs? Yes, she probably could. She had all the training, all the support, all the connections. She could argue that this hyperlane nexus was not only important, but given the proper infrastructure, it could be quite profitable. Did she want to do this? Leia wasn't sure. If she settled here, the Alderaanian refugees would either have to come with her, or she would have to step down from leading them. Tatooine was far from the fertile seed planet she'd tried to find for them. It was nothing like the high mountains and lakes that she'd enjoyed growing up. Would her people still be Alderaanian if they had to adapt enough to come here? On the other hand, could she leave these people now that she knew them? Now that they had seen her and put their hopes in her? Could she turn her back on them like so many had before, and prove to them and to herself that they weren't worth the hardship they would bring? Could she do this? Did she want to do this alone? Leia didn't have an answer. Boba had found the tracks easily enough. He rode through the night and caught up with them an hour or so before dawn. The head of the tribe didn't know him, but did know of his tribe and their massacre. Boba was eventually allowed to join them as they traveled. He had been right. They were going to a meeting of the clans. The Sand People had noticed the change spreading out from Mos Espa. Boba did not say he was the cause of that change. He was, after all, only the right hand of the Hutt Slayer. The tribe traveled through the day and into the following night, until at last they reached the place of secret waters. They entered the canyons of redstone and used the ancient glyphs to weave their way through the maze, under arches of stone, through passages that closed in above them, and finally into the caldera of an ancient extinct volcano. Ash still lingered in corners, and water seeped from the walls. The white pumice stone nearly glowed in the thin strip of light that had managed to make it into the depths.
They were not the first to arrive, and not the last. Boba waited for another full day, keeping his helmet on and all skin covered in respect. They began when the first moon rose. The tribe spoke several dialects, but all knew the hand language, so at least when the elders gathered, he wasn't the only one who needed a translator. The elders laid out the troubles the tribes had been facing, and asked for all information to be shared. When it was his turn, Boba stood and spoke of his tribe. He spoke of the massacre and his vengeance. He spoke of his fear that his tribe would not be the only one, and his desire to return the desert to those who walked the sands and knew its ways. The elders listened. Some seemed to agree. Some seemed to see him as an outsider, despite his staff, despite the lizard and the bantha. He went on. He told them of the Hut Slayer, a story which the escaped slaves had already been whispering to willing ears. He spoke of the daughter of the Skywalker, who now lived and ruled in Mos Espa. He told them a story of the future. Walk this path with me. Let the farmers keep their vaporators. Let the cities stand. Let them tend their lands as you tend yours. They will bring water and spread the green places, but the heart of the desert is deep and strong, and the tribes will be here to protect and defend it. The elders and the leaders of the tribes spoke long through the night. More than one warrior called Boba a liar, and he fought them one by one on the white sand. When the first sun peeked over the horizon, the meeting was over. Boba had 12 votes, 8 votes against, and 3 abstaining. Boba had 1 year before the matter could be brought up again. Boba thanked the elders and the clan leaders, before finding a corner and letting himself fall into unconsciousness. When he woke, it was late in the afternoon, and most of the tribes had started back to their territory. Boba checked his speeder, refilled his canteens, and checked the maps he'd loaded into his armor. He was far from any proper sentiment, but that was to be expected. He set off as the first sun dipped below the horizon. The first hurdle was done. One left, and if he was honest, he thought the tribes would be the harder of the two. The desert swept out around him, the light of the moons turning the sand to salt and silver. He let the wind paint a silence around him and pushed the speeder toward Mos Eisley. Seven days. Leia had promised herself a 10-day. If Boba returned inside a 10-day, if he returned and explained himself, Leia wasn't sure she could last another 3 days. She was angry, and she was worried, and she couldn't help remembering him every time the suns glinted off the rocks and turned the sand into a rainbow. She felt like she had missed a step every time she turned, and there wasn't anyone standing behind her right shoulder. She kept pausing in meetings, waiting for Boba to speak up, adding some fact about the desert or challenging her plan for the planet as being too far from what the people here knew. Fennec tried to help. She did her job and did it well, but she wasn't Boba. Fennec had never wanted to be a king. She was far better suited to the role of head of security, or maybe lead enforcer, as the locals would put it. The trusted lieutenant who spoke for Boba or herself. Fennec could walk among the people, joke with the guards, and flirt with the servers, in a way she and Boba couldn't. Leia spread the skirts of the local style robe she'd taken to wearing most days, and settled onto the throne. It needed some kind of cushion. The stone might have been worn smooth, but that didn't mean it was comfortable. Her face was pleasantly neutral as she nodded to 8D8. He made a little bow and announced the first petitioner, a moisture farmer with a land dispute with one of his neighbors. The hours passed in tedium. The problems were important, but that didn't stop her mind from drifting. She felt untethered, but since she didn't have a home or a people, there was nowhere else she could go. "Is that agreeable to all parties?" Leia asked the merchant with the current issue. He dropped into a bow and muttered agreement, not that she'd left him much choice. She turned and nodded to 8D8 to bring in the next petitioner. Unlike when she'd first arrived, there were now secretaries to take charge of the merchant and get her dictates set in writing. A clamor started up in the antechamber. Leia blinked a few times, then stood when she heard 8D8 say something in surprise. Drawing her lightsaber from her belt, Leia stepped off the throne, just as Boba stumbled through the doors and came to a stop in front of her. Her breath caught in her throat. Boba's armor was dusty and scratched. When he removed his helmet, there were circles under his eyes and stubble on his chin. Where had he been that he hadn't, or couldn't, take care of himself? "Boba," she gasped, anger and fear giving way to relief. Boba sank to one knee with his usual stiffness. Was he purposefully mirroring their first meeting? The effect was certainly similar, even if the emotions behind it were different. "Lady Hutslayer, as representative of the collective Tusken tribes, I wish to bring a petition before you. Will you hear me?" Leia took a breath, brushed down her skirt, and nodded. "I will hear you." Boba lifted his head until he could meet her eyes. "I have walked the sands. I have spoken to the tribes. I have come to you with water and blood. In order to join our tribes, and so that there is peace between our peoples, I offer the strength of my arm and the sweat of my brow. I show you my face, and so yield all into your hands. Will you accept? Will you offer the same and bind our fates?" Naya's hands came up to her mouth. After 7 days of wondering if he was even alive, and now... Was he asking what she thought he was? Was he offering what she thought he was? There was a lump in her throat. She could barely breathe, let alone speak. Damn the man for raising the stakes yet again. Bless him for going all in and daring her to do the same. If... He paused, clearing his throat. "If it matters, I do wish to marry you in the Mandalorian traditions as well. But I would not dare to offer you anything less than a planet as dowry." A sound escaped her throat. There were tears in her eyes, and she hated that that was her reaction, but composing herself would take too much time. Boba dipped his head. His expression faltered. "I also have an agreement from the mayor of Mos Eisley, so..." "Yes," Leia finally managed to say. She fell to her knees, wrapping her arms around his shoulders and pressing their foreheads together. "Yes, do you hear me? Yes, I'll marry you. I'll rule this planet with you. Yes." "Oh." He let out a breath. "Good." His smile was full of relief. His hand found her cheek. They leaned into the kiss together, as if they'd both been waiting years for it. From the door to the antechamber, someone cheered. Someone else wolf-whistled. Then 88's voice lifted above the noise, ushering the petitioners away. Leia let the tears fall past her smile as she pulled back enough to look Boba, her fiancé, in his eyes. You do realize we'll have to have another celebration now, right? He growled.
Yes, but that will have to wait until tomorrow. Today, I will be the only one celebrating you.
Heat rose in Leia's cheeks. Such promises! Are you sure you can back them up? Boba's grin was almost feral.
I am a man of my word, Lady Hutslayer, and I would never offer you anything less.
Leia laughed as Boba wrapped his arms around her and pulled her into his lap. As far as she was concerned, that was a damn fine start. The end. Athas Nuts. So, first interesting fact. I wrote all of this in 15 days because I completely forgot about this event until the start of May, when the due date was the 16th. Just goes to prove that I work best under pressure. That said, there was no time to find a beta. All errors are my own. Second, there were three songs that helped inspire this for me. The title comes from the first one, Ripple by the Grateful Dead. I see that one as an overall theme for the story. The theme for Boba is Watch Me Rise by Mickey Echo. Watch Me Rise also very nearly became the title of this story. Leia's theme is Queen by Lauren Gray. I honestly just want all the stories where that song characterizes Leia. If you haven't listened to it, I really recommend it. Lastly, a heartfelt thank you to Rena for creating the nodfic that inspired the story and the mods for running this event. You all deserve so much credit. I hope I did justice to the original, even if I didn't add nearly as much crime as the prompt hinted at. Reader's notes. Oh, this was so good. I know this wasn't written, like, for me. It was just inspired by a story that I think should exist, but it does feel like Litra reached into my brain and found the things that the best possible version of a story and the things I didn't even know to ask for. Like the Quinlan cameo! I didn't even think, oh, what is Quinlan Vos doing in the year's Reconstruction era? Obviously, he is still, you know, poking around doing Jedi Shadow things because he can. And then the Tusken Raiders thing, where it's not just raiders, it's civilization, and we have a council of elders and a meeting of the clans and the tribes and the way that everybody actually has a civilization. Oh, so good. And then Madame Garza in this was just like, oh, blow my heart open, why don't you? Ula being the first Twi'lek we meet, and then Madame Garza being specifically on Tatooine, right? And then Madame Garza being, like, the semi-last Twi'lek we meet on Tatooine, and sort of, here is how things have changed, here is the contrast that we've got there, here is, like, ah, so good for me. I don't know, there's some meta in there I haven't fully worked out yet between Ula to Bib Fortuna to Madame Garza to the Mayor's Aide and sort of the scope of Twi'leks on Tatooine and something there that is deeply meaningful, but I haven't figured it out yet. So anyway, this story was written based off of an oral notfic prompt that watching Book of Boba Fett as a lifelong Boba Fett, I'm a Fett girl. I am a sucker for a helmet and a tragic backstory, and this boy has both. But watching Book of Boba Fett left me with some... There were some places that the story didn't cover things I wish it would have. And reading this version that Litra has written, I think I will be substituting as my new, essentially my new headcanon of what that entire season was.
I loved, loved, loved the way Leia came at this whole thing between the fuck, what's he doing in my name? I can't let him get away with these things. He's gotten one over on me, and it's like actually a little bit intriguing to then becoming like, look, I was raised to be a leader of people. I was raised to sort of put the public good before my own, right, in terms of being a princess there. And then there's that moment, I think it's in chapter 3, when Leia's like, can I do this alone? Do I want to do this alone? Can I still be responsible for these people who are not necessarily my people? In a way that just, like, it felt like it got to the core of who Leia is as a character, and that just tore me wide open again. I also deeply loved the bit that Litra had in there about Boba using Mandoa when he was feeling soft, because that just, that goes with all of my headcanons about Boba's convoluted and somewhat contentious Mandalorian heritage stuff. And I did swoon a little bit in Book of Boba Fett when they pulled out the, see this bit here? This is my father and his father before him, and they pulled out the actual Mandoa script. So that was beautiful. Quick translation moments. Gorshuk me kiresh is you're no use dead, which is essentially like, don't burn yourself out. And kopish is attractive, but like a general appealingness, not a beauty, and also a specific separate concept for like Mandalorian attractiveness. Basically, he's being a giant, adorable Beskar on the outside, marshmallow centered on the inside, and it was so good for me. I also particularly liked the way that just like the rest of the cast got their moments. Fennec Shand was like, here is where I am in the hierarchy of things, and it is a solid position, and it is a useful position, and I'm a little bit in everybody's business as a matchmaker, but it wasn't like, oh, she's here, she holds a gun, she has no personality, you know? It was fulfilling and wonderful, and Force-sensitive Leia doing things instinctively. And also, the bit that Litra put about the design that was painted on the stage. So the icon that's on Boba's armor that looks like a sheaf of grain and a backwards number 7 and 3 drops of blood, that sheaf of grain bit that was also reinterpreted as a sliced open chain. If I had any kind of graphic design skill, that would have been the cover art for this podfic, because that image is such a gorgeous melding of, this is my ancestral symbol, this is for Boba, and this is where I'm taking our future for Leia as the Hutt Slayer. And I love it so much. It was so good for me. I also had a couple moments of, like, talking at the mic without reading text, like, live slug reaction, essentially, while recording. And one of those was when Boba goes to the gathering of the tribes. And this is what that was. Oh, I absolutely can't. You're getting here the president of a planet. Ah! Leia's type is older men who are super competent, and oh, it's so good for me. It's so good for me. Also, the fact that the Tuskens actually have like an organization and culture, and he's pushing his body to the limit, and it's a physical exertion to show how much he loves her, but also like it's a gift that shows he knows her, because you know, shiny fripperies are not going to do shit for Leia, but diplomacy and the kind of political maneuvering that she can't do herself but can appreciate. So good. I also had a couple moments where I stopped for swearing purposes because there was, you know, sirens and motorcycles and things like that. But those are, I guess, a little bit less important to my overall spewing of why I love this fic.
So I guess I have to say a very big thank you to the mods of Drop the Knot 2022, and an even bigger, more heartfelt thank you to Litra for picking this for Drop the Knot 2022. If you're interested in hearing the original oral Knotfic, you can find that on AO3. You can find the rest of the Drop the Knot oral Knotfic prompts as well, because even though the fest is over, nobody who contributed is going to say, "No, your time is up. You cannot remix any of my ideas." Absolutely. Check them out. Drop the Knot 2021, Drop the Knot 2022. Plenty of oral Knotfic prompts out there for people to enjoy. So yes, thank you to the mods, thank you to Litra, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed the sound effects. That was fun. And yeah, thank you for listening. Have a nice day.